What would you sacrifice? Is this what you realise when you turn off the feed? The restaurant's other diners hustle around me, yet I am absolutely alone. I should be nestling in amid the raucous chatter of this busy place, but instead I'm embalmed in real silence. And it's as that weird ringing thing happens in my ears that it hits me. Tom is right. I really must remember this. Even though this unconnected stillness feels deeply unnatural, it is good to be slow. If I can just ignore the itch in my brain. I was spraying non-stop between classes earlier, and I'm still buzzed from it now, even though I took Rafa for a big walk in the park after school. Marooning myself on a bench with my feed off and my do not disturb on, I threw his ball and watched the children play. That was it. That was all I did. No chats, no news streams. I had homework to mark. Class 9K, filleting the Tempest with trowels in a filtered thinking test I'd set them. And I should have messaged Jason Stark 27 to release him from detention. But I didn't. I didn't even check my pool. I simply sat and winced to the repetitive torture of the rusty swings and forced my thoughts to slow. And gradually, the buzz subsided. My heart calmed. And I felt the baby inside me relax, her agitations eased as my mind unknotted. Action, reaction, nice and clear. Tom would have been proud. I slip my feed on now, here in the restaurant, just our private stream, and nudge him to tell him he's right. The connection makes my heart race, and without thinking, I dip into the chatter of the restaurant's hectic public stream. I plunge with ease into the no. Tom's thick eyebrows go up and his eyes widen, whether in surprise or irritation I can't tell, as his feed stays off, and his emotes are therefore unknown to me. I turn my feed off again, like one of my troublesome pupils, and we sit in silence some more. He smiles at me, but I don't return it. I can't for a while I concentrate. I can do this. I can go slow. Why does Tom have to make it look so damn easy, though? My eyes rove, hungry for information. The cutlery of the 33 other diners scrapes. The occasional unintended real laugh rasps around the room. Someone coughs. No words, though. No talking in the real. And I hear birdsong over the super road's growl. I realise I haven't heard a bird consciously for so long. And it's a really lovely thing. But the problem with being off is, it's so slow. How long will this take?
Could take forever,
Tom agrees, nodding his broad forehead patiently before swivelling towards the kitchens.
How long have we been waiting?
I'll check.
Kate, Tom warns gently, we are being slow tonight.
And there it is, the psychotherapist's tone. It implies far more authority than the length of Tom's experience deserves. In fact, I think I first noticed it right when he started practicing last year. But I can't check my mandals to see without going on. If it riles me, though, why wouldn't it rile his clients? And that wouldn't be good. He has to make this work. It's taken him a while to find himself, and he loves the work. He's really good at it. It's his. So I disengage my eyes again and look around the reel, past the diners and outside. It's not yet dark, though the super road brings an early murk to these older parts of the city. We moved in round the corner 2 years ago, just before we got married. A beautiful old house. New builds lack soul. I like a home to have a past. And way more expensive than we could dream of affording. But Tom's parents helped us out. I'm still mixed about that. So's Tom. But we're on the hilltop up here. The super road arches close above us, and the city is an urban growth laid out below. So many people down there before me. The millions of lights sparking like so many vibrant lives, and I could be chatting with any of them. My thoughts prismed out from the lit-up tower over towards the river, the main hub of the feed. Tom's father's place. Watching over us all. The eye of a needle through which everyone threads.